In the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee meeting for February 14th, 2012 to order. Before we get started today, I just would like to remind committee members and those of you in the audience that today is Candiota County and Wilmer Day at the Capitol, and we have in the Great Hall on the ground floor about 10 exhibits from the Wilmer area dealing with everything from biofuels to anhydrous ammonia and how we use agricultural products for that process, along with our MinWest Technology Campus and the conversion that has been made from a regional treatment center to a private industry and 350 private sector jobs in engineering and all kinds of very good things going on at that campus. If you have the opportunity, just take the time to go down and take a quick visit with them and a view of what's happening with agriculture and bioscience out in west central Minnesota, the heartland of agriculture in Minnesota. And Vice Chair Howe has one of our pamphlets, so very interesting activity going on down there. But now we'll get down to business, and we'll call up Senator Hoffman to present us with Senate File 1719. Welcome to the committee, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and that was a shameless plug, but good for you.
Totally shameless, and I admit it.
That's what we're here to do, right? Mm. Well, good afternoon, members. Senate file, and I forgot the number. This bill is to create a road guard certificate under which a person can stop and hold traffic during a motorcycle group ride. The bill adds a certificate that's required. It adds qualifications and standards. It directs the Minnesota Motorcycle Safety Center in the DPS to set qualifications to obtain a certificate, create and provide a certificate course, and establish vehicle and equipment standards. It also directs the department to set up a fee for the certificate based on agency costs. There's a penalty in it, so it makes a violation of the section a petty misdemeanor, and then it also allows for it directs the department to adopt administrative rules governing motorcycle road guard certificates, including setting the certificate fee. And with that, I think that it's a pretty simple bill. I have some people here that would like to testify on behalf of the bill, and I understand there's some that might oppose the bill, so I'll leave it to you, Mr. Chair.
If testifiers can come forward if you like. We have Mac Backlund, Tim Burke, and Pat McCormick. Why don't we take Mr. Backlund and Mr. Burke first.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, my name is Mac Backlund. I'm the state coordinator for American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education, which is the largest motorcycling advocacy group in the state of Minnesota. We have, for over 25 years now, promoted motorcycle safety training through our basic rider course, the experience rider course, the group ride course, and we hope to promote it through the motorcycle escort training. Our members are committed to motorcycle training. We've had several dozen of our members over the years serve on the Motorcycle Safety Advisory Task Force, and we take it very seriously. A-Beta Minnesota fully supports this bill. We support allowing trained volunteers to block intersections for the safety of the motoring public when these large motorcycle runs go through. Typically, these are charity runs or nonprofit fundraisers, and they rely on our funds that these motorcycle runs produce. And it wouldn't be possible to fund some of these groups if not for the millions of dollars these motorcyclists raise. Also, we're happy to raise those funds for those groups, but holding traffic even for a few minutes while improving the safety of the intersection is a violation of the law currently. We really greatly appreciate when law enforcement can help us through those intersections, but for when there's an emergency in other parts of the district or something else comes up that's a greater public safety concern, sometimes we are left without an escort service. It creates confusion, so We would like to have our trained volunteers provide that, and similar to what the extended load and wide load truck escorts are able to do now. Again, we believe our volunteers can do that and produce a safe intersection for when these groups go through, and it would greatly save local law enforcement costs by not requiring the extra police protection. It's our belief it'll improve the safety of the roads, and we would urge everyone to vote yes on SF 1719. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for your testimony. Is Mr. Burke here? Doesn't appear to be. Ms. McCormick.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, Pat McCormick with Driver and Vehicle Services with the Department of Public Safety. And as you can see from the legislation and our fiscal note, there are expenses that are required for the department to be able to pay in order to be able to establish this program. DVS would play a role in terms of giving the program approval, developing the curriculum content requirements, and overseeing instructor qualifications and monitoring the hours of training. We would absorb the staff costs that are associated with that, but there is a cost to the rulemaking that's estimated to be about $20,000. And so that would be the cost that would be incurred with this bill being enacted into law. And so we just wanted to be able to provide that information to you and let you know that there would be costs associated with it. We think that the effective date, the way it's written, would allow us to get the rulemaking done in the amount of time that's necessary for the program to become effective. As it's currently written, the effective date would be, we would be agreeable to.
Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I just want to note, I took off my Margaritaville lapel pin, which is very near and dear to my heart, and put on my Wilmer pin. So I hope that earns some consideration.
It absolutely does. It wins you great favor. And
thank
as
you.
An alumni of Ridgewater College in Wilmer, Minnesota.
I am. That's right. Ms. McCormick, my question is, I'm looking at the fiscal note, and I see that cost diminishing. Do you envision it as sort of a bump in the first year, a little bit in the second, and then the rulemaking and kind of startup costs will have gone away versus an ongoing expense to the department?
Mr. Chair and Senator, yes, that's how we estimate the costs would just be mainly for the startup and the rulemaking.
Right. And Mr. Senator Chair, just a follow-up comment. I had some of my ABATE members from home, as I'm sure many did, come and talk about this issue, and it seems like a really proactive way to address not only your concerns, but I'm sure Senator Perry will comment on this too, but there's all kinds of, we have a fiscal note from the state perspective, but you know, if we had local fiscal notes, we'd see savings for a lot of our local units that, you know, staff up and help with these events. So I applaud ABATE for coming forward with the, we always get the problems, we don't often get the solutions. So thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill, but Senator Hoffman, has anybody commented about any liability issues at all? I mean, I think we, if I remember last year, the year before, we started talking about these escort companies having a liability insurance of some form. Has anybody brought that? Is it any part? I guess that I'm just questioning because I know the guy that's going to put or the gal that's going to put the vest on, if something happens, who's responsible? Is it the organization? Is it the state because they've been certified? Or that's my question.
Senator Hoffman?
Mr. Chair, Senator Perry, I'm going to have my testifier address that.
Mr. Chair and Senator, if it's an ABATE of Minnesota sanctioned run, we are covered under our general liability insurance policy. I spoke with our insurance agent this afternoon, and he'll have a letter drafted to that effect. Many of these other runs are very large, well-established runs over many years. The Ronald McDonald House run in Senator Hoffman's district has about 1,000 motorcycles there, and either they will carry, either they have liability insurance or they should have. It would be an error on their part if they did not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask, and maybe the department could address that concern also. I don't. Do you have a
Ms. McCormick?
Mr. Chair and Senator, that isn't an issue that I've really looked at in terms of the liability. I don't know if State Patrol has any thoughts on that or not in terms of the other programs that we have in terms of department liability.
Let me ask real quick then, are permits required for these types of larger rides, or are they run through any type of an agency that may have a checkoff that would require, say, a liability policy or something?
Mr. Chairman, if you're speaking of like a parade permit, there's no such permit required as that I'm aware of, but these rides always contact law enforcement, and we work as partners with them. One of the problems is the rides sometimes cross many jurisdictions, many county lines, and many areas where different law enforcement communities have to work together, and we do our best, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that we implement a permitting policy or add any additional bureaucracy. I was just wondering if there was a mechanism out there some way to see if there was insurance coverage. So, and I would imagine that each motorcyclist would have insurance on their bike, and it's voluntary involvement in the ride itself. So good questions, though. Yeah. Major Eckhart?
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Ken Eckhart with the State Patrol. I believe there was a question about liability or our perspective on liability.
That's correct.
We did have a discussion with these folks and also the House author yesterday, and one of the concerns that we would have is that this issue of liability should be dealt with through the rulemaking along with the training requirements and the equipment requirements. And that's where we feel that this could be accomplished.
Thank you, Major. Appreciate the Senator DeCray.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to actually speak in favor of this bill. I actually have a fair amount of experience both in escorting large loads around the country, having hired both patrol and private escorts, and also with leading motorcycle rides. And we've been asked by some local departments, county departments, to do some certain things and then basically do our own road guarding. So I've been involved in that quite a bit, and I think we can do this safely. I think this bill is something that I think will take, the part of every once in a while you're working with local law enforcement, and they're lined up to come and escort this load, or not the load, but the ride for you, but then they get called away on an emergency. And it's more important for them to go to that emergency and to track a traffic accident than to guard this, this intersection. And I think that this is a good thing to do, make sure that they're trained, make sure they know how to do it right, and have the ready equipment, and I think this can be done safely.
So you have a Dave Pachia with the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association that would like to testify. I hope I didn't batter your name too badly, but welcome to the committee, and if you'd identify yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dave Pichia, the Executive Director for the Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association, and I'm here to speak in opposition to the bill. I have heard from some of our members, specifically members of the cities of the first class, the metropolitan area, and some of the vacation land destinations in greater Minnesota that typically have higher volumes of traffic at times when these motorcycle runs would go through their communities. And although we see many positive things that have occurred with this bill, we've had a chance to communicate with Senator Hoffman, and we've committed to have further communication relative to some of our issues, but due to the high volume of traffic, the danger in some of the metropolitan areas and those high traffic areas where professional law enforcement officers or their trained volunteers provide those services now, they're asking that they be able to continue to do that. We did talk about options for opting out for some of the communities or other options that would be available that would allow law enforcement in certain circumstances to provide the safe transfer of these motorcycle rallies through their communities. It's of utmost importance to our members that they're able to enjoy their rides, that they're able to ride safely, and that they're able to move through their communities in an expeditious yet safe manner. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I understand that you are working with Senator Hoffman to iron out the concerns that those police chiefs and law enforcement have in those larger communities, and I believe we have an assurance that you'll continue to work as this bill progresses.
Yes, in the Mr. process. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Hoffman, can you, we heard what the State Patrol had to say on the subject of liability. Is that something you're also going to work on in the next committee, as addressing that in statute?
Mr. Chair, Senator Howe, yes, we'll work on that, whether it be through the rulemaking process or, you know, if we have to put something in statute, we'll work on that with the department. And I know, you know, I've talked to the chiefs, and we're going to work with them on some of their issues. So, you know, we hope by the time the bill would go to state government that – and the House has a hearing tomorrow, and they're aware of these provisions, too, that we need to kind of work on. So we're hoping by the time this gets through the committee process, we'll have a bill that everybody can support, and all the interest groups will be more comfortable with it.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Senator Hoffman. I think that's real important because I think some of the volunteers, I think maybe that's something DPS could address in certificate issues too, so everybody understands what role and what liability they're taking on when they do these things. I think if everybody has a clear understanding, I would support this.
You're good. Any other questions? Senator Wolf?
Chair, I move that Senate File 1719 be recommended to pass and be sent to the State Government Innovation and Veterans Committee.
Senator Wolf has moved that Senate File 1719 be recommended to pass and sent to the State Government Innovation and Veterans Affairs Committee. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Mr. Chairman.
Next up is Senator Stump with Senate File 1731.
That one you just got to make them yourself.
Senator Stump, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senate File 1731, I bring this bill to you in behalf of all the guilty people across the state of Minnesota. And it's just my Catholic complex of guilt. But for many, many years, I've put on, you know, 65,000 miles a year, went through I don't know how many cars, and most of the roads in our part of the state are 55 miles an hour. And, of course, they're all flat and very little traffic on it. But yet somehow going above that 55 miles an hour speed limit makes me feel guilty. And so I have the pleasure of having Dave Bido, who's traveled 325 miles or more to come here and share our plan to raise the speed limit. And it's not a very extensive bill. It just changes two numbers in the statute from 55 to 60. What really kind of amazes me is that we start out at 55, and of course it's all two-lane roads basically. So if you get behind a semi or you get behind a slow driver, quite often it's, you know, at least at certain times it's, you know, a little bit iffy whether you can get around them. But as you come down from our part of the state, northwestern part of the state, and you get onto the freeways, the speed limit goes up, obviously. And, of course, if you get on 94, you can go 70. And then as you go from, Fergus Falls to Alexandria to St. Cloud, pretty soon it's not 70 anymore. It's like 75. You get down around Clearwater and Monticello, Rogers, they're all going about 79 miles an hour, maybe even 80 miles an hour. So we feel like we're at a distinct disadvantage in our part of the state with 55 miles an hour. And certainly I think we could safely do 60 and then wipe away. It's kind of like going to confession. You know, this committee could wipe away all that guilt across the state of Minnesota.
Well, I'm a Protestant. I don't have quite the guilt complex that Senator Stumpf does. But
I'm a Catholic, and I appreciate Senator Stumpf's perspective on
all right,
that.
With you then. Yeah. My name is David Bido, by the way. I'm a lifelong resident of Thief River Falls, and I've driven down here many times. I'm a banker in Thief River Falls, and Senator Stumpf just asked me to come and maybe give some personal reflections on this. And one thing I've noticed from observing other drivers is that very few people are really observing the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. In fact, I can't think of any. And the reason is because if they were, I'd probably have had to pass them on the way down. There's a thing called creep that's happened for a long time in these 55-mile-an-hour zones. It's pretty much accepted. It appears that you can go about 9 miles an hour over, and most people do. And so it creates, I think it may also create the creep on the interstates where you're going 79 and 70. We really could use a speed limit that is enforced and is known to all and isn't just an unpublished speed limit, and I think this would be a good way to start that process.
Senator Hall,
Mr. Chair, well, you know, there's other legislation that we're looking at too, but if I guess a question for you would be the trade-off of if you went from 55 to 60. And then you didn't have the 10-mile-an-hour over limit where it doesn't go on your driver's record? Because right now, in a 60-mile-an-hour, there is no forgiveness if you get a ticket there. In a 55, it doesn't have to go on your record. So I guess my question to you, without that other legislation already being passed, or, you know, we heard it in this committee, but would that be a fair trade-off? Would you be willing to do that?
Senator Stone?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Howe, the one problem that we have encountered, not one, but certainly one problem, is that every once in a while there's this aggressive enforcement of people, certain people that it's not necessarily that they're going 9 miles over the speed limit. And I was relaying this true story to Dave. There's this elderly couple on their way to church up in Roseau County, and they happen to have their cruise control set at under 60. So it was like maybe 56, 57, 58. I don't know exactly, but Highway Patrol stopped them. And when this elderly couple saw these red lights flashing behind and everything, And the poor gentleman had some heart condition, and he just about had, you know, a heart attack, because here's the highway patrol pulling him over, and they were totally innocent in terms of, you know, the unwritten kind of speed limit, but there happened to be a highway patrol that was enforcing it. This particular individual patrolman or patrol person had issued so many tickets in that area that when a lot of them got into the court system, the judge basically threw them all out and said, "What are you doing?" But you can see the confusion between, and I really do say that there is a certain amount of guilt that people have. I know most of you probably understand the laws better than the interpretation of the laws better than some of our public. But you take people who are very conscientious, and they drive by this 55-mile-an-hour sign. It didn't say 60 or 59. It said 55. So, I mean, you have this real unclear message that I think we send.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator. I guess my question goes back to your testifier, Mr. Lidl, said that, you know, we're concerned about this creep. And, you know, the question is if we were to change it to 60, because right now in law, 60, you don't have that leeway, that it's going to end up on your record. So which is it? Should we leave it at 55 and you have that leeway, or should we take it to 60 and give no leeway? Or do you want both? And then you're going to continue to have the creep. So then initially, then what we're going to say is, well, it's okay to go 69, and if you get a ticket, you just pay the fine and it doesn't go on your record. So I'd like some clarity to what position you're going to take on it.
Well, Senator Mr. Chairman, Senator Howell, currently on 94, I believe there is no leeway.
Right.
But every time I drive on 94, the speed limit is not 70. The speed limit is 75. It's 79. And if you just take and now you're coming in, you don't come in on the freeway from Red Wing, but if you go out on 94 and just come down the freeway from St. Cloud, you can set your speedometer or your cruise control, and pretty soon as you get close to Monticello or Rogers, people will be just going past you like that at 70. So the speed limit really isn't 70, even though it is, for the traffic. So we're not enforcing where we don't have a leeway. We're not enforcing that either. So I see your question, but I don't know why we could not have 60. And if somebody drove 61 miles an hour, I suppose the patrol could stop you, but I think that they have to use discretion.
And then, Senator Hall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the question I had was, should it not go on your record then? I mean, we all know that the officers have discretion, but we just heard other testimonies asking on another bill to say that we should give that leeway on 60 mile an hour too. And then I think the question is concerning the creep on that. Well, that you're going to just, what you're doing is really taking the speed limit up quite significantly. So I just wanted to hear if we're advocating that we should go to 60 and include that it doesn't go on your driver's license, or should we go to 60 and, you know, treat it like a violation on the interstate?
Senator Hall, I think we need some clarity on what Dimler would do and what is current practice. And I think we'll have Senate staff, Ms. Berzofsky, go ahead and cover that, because I think there's a little misinterpretation there as far as what goes on the record. Ms. Berzofsky.
Mr. Chair and members, under current law, in a segment of highway that is signed with a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit, the Dimler law would give you a 5-mile-an-hour leeway, so that if you it is still a violation, but if you're stopped between 60 and 65, under state law, it does not go on your record or affect your insurance.
It's a 10-mile and 60, it's a 5.
Thank you. So in current law, we have that, and the Dimler Amendment is something that we're trying to use to address that discrepancy between 55 and 65 and 60 and 65. But the current law specifically says 65
as
in a 60. Yeah. So, right. But the hard and fast number is 65, just for clarity. But, you know, it seems to me that there is a consumer demand out there for an increase in the speed limit. Everybody is doing it. And our job here is to respond to, if you will, consumer and constituent demand. If virtually everybody is going 60 miles an hour and 65 miles an hour, we have examples of highways that are posted, two-lane highways that are posted at 60, you know, and they seem as safe as any. I think we need to take into account that the consumer out there is wanting to go a little faster, 5 mile an hour faster, and and there's a reason for that. So just a little opinion on that part, too. It seems to make sense that our roads are safe enough to go 55, well, and where we're actually going almost 65, to bump the speed limit up across the state of Minnesota when other states are at 60 on most of their two-lane roads and faster in the case of South Dakota. This slight provision doesn't seem to be too extreme. But Senator Stump, did you want to make a comment? Senator Perry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's because we like to, you know, slow down, smell the roses a little bit.
Ah, here in Minnesota.
Are we going to hear from the State
indeed,
Patrol?
Senator, and Senator Perry, and why don't we go ahead and have those testifiers come forward. We have Sue Groff with MnDOT, Christy Sebastian with Dakota County Engineering, and Major Earhart. Welcome to the committee, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Sue Groth, and I'm the state traffic engineer. And I'm here today on behalf of MnDOT to talk a little bit about why we oppose this legislation. And I'll just say before I get going that on the surface it seems like a very simple change. Again, it's, like you said, 55 to 60. But it has some ramifications that are complex, and I'm going to try to walk through some of the data that I've gathered to help you make a decision about where this bill should go. MnDOT does not support this bill because we believe that it will increase travel speeds on these roads that are going from 55 to 60 and increase the total number of crashes, serious injuries, and fatalities. The majority of our county road system and township road systems are governed by statutory speed limits. MnDOT's roads are not governed by statutory speed limit. They are actually authorized by the Commissioner of Transportation. But we use statutory speed limits to provide a uniform maximum value when there's no signing necessary. So that's kind of a little background. We estimate that this bill will conservatively affect 40,000 miles of county roads and 60,000 miles of township roads. We believe that this increase in crashes and speeds will occur based on some things that you have before you. There's two things that I'd like to point out. One, the research that's been completed nationwide regarding speed limits being raised and the severity of crashes being increased. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about Minnesota's own experience when you were talking about the 60-mile-per-hour two-lane, two-way roads that we raised in 2006. I've got some recent data now that those have been in effect since 2006. We can look at crashes and see what's happening not only to crashes but to speeds. So I first of all, I'd like to look you to look at the handout, and I'm not sure if everybody has it, but the first handout says at the top, speed limit increases, a summary of the literature. And you can see here, this goes by state by state. It starts at the top with Minnesota and then Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, and North Dakota. Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa all have the other roads category, which kind of encompasses all the roads that don't have signs on them, basically, at 55. South Dakota and North Dakota both have other roads statutory at 65 miles per hour. And I guess the interesting thing that I would like to point out in this, and we've talked about this before, about the great progress that Minnesota's been making in reducing fatal and serious injury crashes across the state. Minnesota currently has the lowest fatality rate amongst any of these other states surrounding us. And we have that even based on the fact that we do have, even over Wisconsin, a 70-mile-per-hour on our rural interstates. So just a little background to kind of set the stage with what's happening around us. We also, when this bill came up, we conducted a literature review with our library, and we went through and we pulled all of the studies that we could find that talk about the relationship between the increase in speeds and what happens to the safety of roads. Let's see here. There are 10 studies that we've listed here, and throughout all those studies, when the speed limits were raised, crashes increased and the severity of crashes increased because the severity is a function of speed. So let's look at Minnesota's experience. You can flip to the back side. That's page number 4. In 2005, the legislature had a desire to raise, similar to this bill, to raise Minnesota trunk highways across the board to 60 miles per hour from 55 miles per hour on two-lane, two-way roads. And so we had sat down at that time and decided that we would raise some of these higher design roads that are in our state to this, that had a criteria that had a, you know, an excellent 60 mile per hour design with 6-foot shoulders, good ditches, good clear zones, and regional quarters. We went ahead and raised 840 miles on two-lane, two-way roads to 60 miles per hour from the 55. And looking at this, this is, again, this is a somewhat a complex issue, and I'll try my best to explain how I understand it. If you look at the table, there's good, kind of good news and bad news. We know that overall crashes and severity are coming down in the state of Minnesota. So on this table number 1 on the back page, you'll see here it talks about the sections of road that had no speed limit increase, and then the sections of road that we went from 55 miles per hour to 60 miles per hour. That's second line there is the 840 miles. In those cases, we did see crashes go down in both cases. But what's interesting is the roads that we increased the speed limits on, this is table number 1 on page 4, were only reduced by 10% crashes. The crashes were only reduced by 10%, whereas where we had no speed limit increase, they were reduced by 25%. So that leads us to kind of say, whoa, you know, what's different, you know, about these roads? These were all roads that we thought could handle, if you want to say, a 60-mile-per-hour speed. Now, how did that relate to the seriousness of the crashes? Did the seriousness of crashes increase? And we found that there wasn't a statistical significance between the seriousness of crashes on these 60-mile-per-hour roads. But again, these roads are of a higher design. And we would have expected that to increase, but I'm hoping that it's because of all the other things that we're doing with rumble strips and different safety things that we're able to keep the severities down. Now, at the bottom of the page, this gets to, in table number 2, this gets to the question about creep, if you want to call it. On the control sections, as we're calling it, these are just 4 spot sections throughout the state, and we have the first one is the 61 miles per hour, right? 66 miles per hour right now, in 2005. And in 2009, those same ATRs or those same traffic recorders were at 64.8. So they have stayed relatively flat and even decreased slightly. But where we went from 55 to 60, the overall 85th percentile did go up to almost 73 miles per hour from 70. So, question, are people driving 55 or 60 mile per hour on those roads? No, 85% of the people are now driving 73, whereas before we raised them, 85% of the people were driving 70. So there is this creep, and that is of great concern when we talk about speed and the relationship of speed to serious crashes. So I also handed out, just to try and give you an idea of why this is kind of a complex issue, I handout that shows three different types of roads. These are all county roads, and what it's showing is that some roads that are currently statutorily 55, like the one in the upper right-hand corner, may be able, to handle a 60-mile-per-hour speed. But then you look at the second picture on the left, where you see you've got a graded shoulder without any paved shoulder, and then you can see that the clear zone is somewhat compromised. That's a little more concern. It's probably not one that we would maybe want to. You've got access coming in, lake going between lakes. And then the one on the bottom right is Isanti County Road 36 near Cambridge. Again, you've got no shoulders. Clear zones coming closer to the edge of the road, and steep ditches, which will cause cars to roll. So those are these are the roads I'm most concerned about, obviously, are the bottom right. So let's see here. Based on the experience we have on the roads where the speeds have been raised to 60 miles per hour, we would expect total crashes to increase on all rural two-lane roads, which are our least safe roads. Given the lower design of many of those rural roads, we expect raising speed limits on all roads would result, again, in increase in serious and fatal injury crashes.
Hey, thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Senator Lord.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Ms. Groth, you mentioned townships in there, too, and I got
excuse me, mention
townships?
Township, yes.
Ms. Groth.
That this would apply to township roads,
yes,
as well? Dirt roads?
Yes.
Too, I mean, right?
Gravel roads. This, because that statutory covers, we have, as far as I know, very, very few authorized county roads. We often get requested to lower them to 45, and we try to use the statutory speed limit as much as possible. So it's 55 on those right now, too.
Right, and so they would, on these, some of these back dirt roads
they would be 60.
Be raised to 60. I mean, I got my kids traveling on those roads a lot.
Yeah,
excuse me. There's no picture of those dirt roads on here, but I mean, it's actually pretty alarming. Some of them are incredibly narrow, and I know my townships have come to me and asked me for help trying to even fix that, I mean, because right now there's some township roads that, I wouldn't drive 55 on, and they'd be mandated to allow 60 on these. I mean, I think that maybe this area needs some attention, but I think 60 statewide, there's some significant engineering deficiencies on a lot of miles of road, even under our existing law. So I'm just, all due respect to Senator Stump. I mean, I do. I get to drive 35 all the way to my house. I'm going 70. So I mean, I get that a drive all the way up to northwestern Minnesota is quite a bit different. But this seems pretty broad to me.
Senator Stump.
Well, I certainly agree that the township roads are probably it would be tough to drive 55 on those. I mean, even if you wanted to, any of them are, you have to drive the speed that you feel comfortable with. I mean, you'd really be pushing it, to go over. The other thing is that there's virtually no enforcement mechanism on many of those rural roads anyway. So, but the on the statistics, measuring the statistics, in the times that I've driven, let's say Highway 59, which is our main road, it's a two-lane tarred road, Unless a farmer pulls out onto the road with an old truck, nobody's going 55 miles an hour. And so if you change the speed limit to 60, I mean, it's currently more than 55, so I don't know how the statistics could really, how could you measure against, let's say, the road that's currently a two-lane at 60 to a two-lane, let's say, Highway 59, that's 55 now, but everybody's going 65 or 60 over 60 miles an hour. So, but it is the legislation wasn't meant for the gravel roads, you know. Obviously, I think that's a different issue. But I think it the legislation was meant to reflect what people are actually doing, and I did honestly mean that there are people. Many of our communities are senior communities. You know, there are people who take that 55 for 55. Now, all of you know that you can go 64 and not get a ticket, or usually not get a ticket. But, you know, I think the legislation was meant to be more of a reflection of the capacity of those roads. And obviously, to get from point A to point B, when you have, let's say, you drive from Thief River to Detroit Lakes, which is about 100 miles, and you only go through four towns. Oh, it's.
Any other questions? Next testifier, Senator Hall. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a question before you leave the testifiers, thus there. And Senator Stump's point. Could someone speak to what standards you spoke of a U.S. Route, and we have U.S. routes, we've got state trunk highways, county highways, and township roads. I'm just wondering, you're speaking to the speed on the U.S. routes. I'm just wondering to what different standards that the capacity issues on those different routes.
Ms. Graff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator. MnDOT's trunk highways are typically, not always, but typically designed to a 60-mile-per-hour design speed. And it's my understanding, and we can have the county engineers respond specifically to county roads, but in my discussions, county roads, some are at 60-miles-per-hour design speed, but many of them are down, depending on the nature of the geography, some of them down to the 40, 45. So.
Senator Hall.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess that's one of my questions is certain standards are built for certain, certain roads are built for certain standards and speedways. And to Senator Laurie's point, and I know we don't want to get confusing with our speeds, but we have a lot of different speed limits. You know, we've got everything from 20 mile an hour by if a school's in session and you're going by a school, to a 70 mile an hour limit in our state, in our interstates. So we've got a lot of different variants. What would be the objections to going to a 60 mile an hour on a state trunk route and a U.S. route?
Ms. Graff.
Mr. Chair and Senator, that is what I was trying to describe in this backside. We did try that on our many of our U.S. trunk highways, where we did raise from 55 to 60 miles per hour, and we have some concerns about what's happening out there. Again, we're seeing speeds or overall injury crashes are going down. As they are across the state, but on these particular roads we're seeing crashes actually have increased, and we're seeing also that the overall speeds have increased to 73 miles per hour from 70 miles per hour. So that's a concern. I don't disagree that people are driving on those roads more than 55 miles per hour.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, we're talking about going to 60, and I'm looking at this chart here. Can you direct me where you're looking? Because I see 65 and 70. I'm looking for the 60-mile-an-hour study with fatalities.
Okay. The first, let's see, I'll go table number two. Table number two.
Am I looking at the make
the
sure
back? Oh, the back side, page four.
Page four, okay.
Sorry. Page four, table number two. That what that is showing is this first line here, it says control section. Those are the posted speed limits that are at 55 miles per hour in 2005 and 2009. You can see this 85% of the people, it's saying, are going on those 55-mile-per-hour roads. Those are those are trunk highways. On those trunk highways are going 66 miles per hour, and in 2009, right around 65 miles per hour. So people are taking what we're calling the 10-mile. They're taking their 10 miles over. But where we change the speed limits on our trunk highways in U.S. Roads, which is the bottom there, when we change them, prior to changing them, the overall speed limit on those on those roads was 70 miles per hour. And after, in 2009, when they've been raised to 60 miles per hour for 4 years, the overall speeds have inched up to almost 73 miles per hour. Those roads, their design speed is 60 miles per hour. That means curves, embankments, clear zones, all those are designed for 60 miles per hour, but yet people are traveling 73 miles per hour.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Hall.
I guess I'm looking at table one and not table two there.
Okay.
Can you explain to me, when I looked at it looks like when you increase the speed limit, increase from 55 to 60, we're talking about percent reduction of crashes there.
Correct.
And the number of fatal and serious injury crashes. Am I reading that right, where you had no speed limit increase, you had a 33.5% of is that a reduction of crashes?
Yes, that's a reduction.
And then you had where you increased the speed limit from 55 to 60, you had a 38.20
right.
reduction. So you actually had an improvement.
It's not that improvement is not statistically. Oh, Mr. Chair, excuse me, and Senator, that percent that we're looking at, that if you look at the data, those are essentially the same. So what we're saying is that yes, overall everything's coming down, and in this case, on these high design roads, we have not seen an increase in the severity of crashes, but we have seen an increase compared to the, when we see this 25 versus 10, we're saying that where we had no increase, crashes went down 25%, but on these roads, they only went down 10%. So it's leading me to believe that that may have something to do with the speed limits. I'm just trying to give you this is very complicated. I understand. But anyways.
Mr. Chair. Senator Hall.
The point I'm trying to make is that the evidence with this table one suggests, at least in the fatal and serious crash industries, that you've actually seen an improvement. And I'm just wondering if that has anything to do with people that, you know, are trying to get around a slow vehicle in front of them, or what that has to do with it. But it seems to support, you know, that the road design, at least, and you're talking about a trunk highway here and not a county road. But I just wanted to point that statistic out so we're sharing.
Well, thank you, Senator Hall. And I think we'll move on to the next testifier. Ms. Sebastian, welcome to the committee. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Christy Sebastian. I am the Dakota County Traffic Engineer. I am here today representing the Minnesota County Engineer Association as the chair of the County Highway Safety Committee. I am here to share concerns regarding Senate File 1731 regarding the change in statutory speed limit from 55 to 60. The County Engineers Association is concerned with this proposed change based primarily on safety and cost. First, regarding safety, the counties are committed to improving safety on the county roads, including being engaged with the Towards Zero Death Initiative, developing our county highway safety plans, and establishment of the Highway Safety Committee. These efforts, along with many others, resulted in part to the decrease in overall roadway fatalities each year. As Ms. Grote mentioned, the state statutory speed really impacts the county roadways and the town roads because the state roadways already have an established speed. The statutory speed does not override those roadways. So with that, the large portion of rural roadway collisions occur on the county road system, including 117 or 41% of all fatal collisions on rural roads and over almost 3,000 injury collisions or 33% of collisions in rural areas are occurring on the county road system. Speed is also a significant factor in collisions. Speed is cited as a contributing factor in 86 fatals from last year, which is 21% of all fatals system-wide. For these reasons, along with the information provided by Sue Grote today, raising the statutory speed on all county roadways would be a step backwards in our collective efforts to improve rural road highway safety. Cost is also a consideration. A change in the statutory speed from 55 miles per hour to 60 would place additional costs on the county and our taxpayers to manage the system, including signing and pavement marking changes. In Dakota County alone, we have 262 miles of 55-mile-per-hour speed. Of this, nearly all, 200 miles, or 75%, is by state statute. This means the change in the statutory speed would require us to review all the signs, markings, including the no-passing zones, review an establishment of any curve signs that would be necessary for the change, and changing out or establishing the difference in the signs. Many roadways where a 60-mile-per-hour speed would be inappropriate would necessitate a request to the state to do a speed study. This action would result in additional work for the Minnesota Department of Transportation, in addition to the changes that would be necessary on the county road system. The county roadways can be very different in characteristics. We spoke about the gravel roads and different types of two-lane, four-lane roadways that may have the statutory speed. And across-the-board change in the statutory speed will decrease safety and increase costs to the taxpayers at no real benefit. Review and authorization of the Transportation Commissioner for a speed greater than 55 on specific roadway segments that may be warranted is a much more effective and safe manner to go about looking at change on these specific roads. For these reasons, the Minnesota County Engineers Association opposes Senate File 1731 to raise the existing 55-mile-per-hour statutory speed to 60.
Okay, well, thank you for your testimony. Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if Senator Stumpf would entertain as a friendly amendment to changing it from 60 to leaving that at 55 in other locations other than specified, and then adding a section that says a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit on state trunk highways and U.S. routes.
Senator Stumpf.
Mr. Chairman, I think the intent, and Senator Howe, I think the intent is consistent with what where people drive faster. I think it was not the intent to pick up all the local roads that individuals have to use their own discretion as to how fast that they can drive. But it is the intent when you get on the highway and go, you know, let's say a highway that's basically a safe place to drive, you know, 60. In fact, it actually was 65 at one time. You know, we had the 55-65 for many, many years, the same exact roads. Now, standards may have changed over that period of time, but I think that's very consistent to help Greater Minnesota, and it reflects, I think, where people are driving over that 55 miles an hour.
Senator Hall.
Mr. Chair, could you have maybe the staff council, put that into a...
I see she's working on it as we speak. So, Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I understand, though, that this would be a departure. Maybe we can hear from MnDOT. This would be a departure from how we designate speed limits on state facilities. Statutory speed limit designations are for on non-state facilities, and it's been the practice that the commissioner, we just leave it to the discretion of the commissioner to determine speed limits through policy or rule. I don't know what the mechanism is. To designate speed limits on state-owned roadways. And this would put, for the first time, statutory speed limit in the state-owned roadways. This statute is specific to non-state-owned roads, and you're suggesting state trunk highways with your amendment.
Roads, right.
So is that the case, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, the way it works is the commissioner, this is my understanding, the commissioner is allowed to study any road by any road authority that thinks that the statutory speed limits are incorrect, that it should be lowered or raised or whatever. Our policy has been to follow in line generally with the statutory speed limits. So if Senator Howe were to make this amendment, that would probably mean that MnDOT or us would go back and study those roads and then authorize them at the 60 mile per hour if we deemed that it was appropriate. I would still say that MnDOT would oppose an overall, just across the board, upping of the speed limits to 60 miles per hour. Again, if we look at what happened when we went from 55 to 60, although in this one case you can say that the seriousness of the crashes was not reduced, we did see that the overall crashes were not reduced as much as they were across the state, so I think that is something to be concerned about.
Thank you very much. I don't want to cover ground that we've covered once already, so thank you for that, but... did you get the clarification that you were looking for, Senator Dibble?
I think so, Mr. Chair. Let me ask another way. Are there any in this statute? I mean, I'm looking and I don't see them. Are there any statutory speed limits for roadways that are owned by the state? State highways.
Ms. Groth.
Mr. Chair and Senator, MnDOT has, by policy, authorized all of their roads. So you can have two ways of a speed limit. You cannot have an authorization, and then the statutory speeds govern, or you can have an authorization, and the authorization governs. We have chosen, by policy, to have all of our roads authorized, and we are the smaller subset of the system. So we're able to do that on our roadways.
Yes.
Thank you.
Senator Scher.
Thank you. I didn't hear your name, but from representing the counties and the concerns about the cost to local governments for this change that's not articulated in our fiscal note. And I do think we should do some appraisal of that before we pass on more to our local governments. But I thought I heard you reference something about what I was thinking of as a waiver process that could be as an alternative way of resolving the issue that Senator Stumpf is talking about, or some way of having a specific geographic area pursue a change that fits maybe most appropriately to that part of the state, rather than a blanket policy that doesn't work on Highway 14 between Mankato and New Ulm, or on Highway 60 between Mankato and Waterville. So would you speak to that again? And speak also, my second question is there a process in place, I heard, that the department could change the designation without a change in the statute, but they're unlikely to do that? Because if that's true, then that concerns me, because there may be an instance in which a change makes sense, even though it might not be wise to change it statutorily throughout the state? So those two questions.
Ms. Sebastian?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator. The what I was referring to is the most of our county roadways, and I just looked at Dakota County right now, it's 75% of our roadways that are 55 are so by statute. If you do a speed authorization asking the commissioner to review the roadway and then a speed limit is set, the commissioner could select that speed being lower. They could select it at 55 or they could select it at 60. I think what we just heard Sue say is that right now it's been a general practice that because the statutory is 55, they don't. But it, certainly the statutes read that you could authorize a speed. So I was suggesting that instead of looking at all of our statutory roadways, which primarily because of the MnDOT policy only affect the county roadways and the town roads, to look at areas and asking for a speed study.
Senator Hall?
Mr. Chair, I think if my amendment would be successful, it's not saying that all these roads are going to go to 60. It's just authorizing the department to look at that, and if it's safe, they will do it. But we're only going to look at the U.S. routes and the state routes. And it wouldn't be any cost onto the local governments because we wouldn't be adjusting county and township roads.
Senator Stump, I think that I'm sensing that we need to do some work on this. Would you be amenable to laying this bill on the table at this for this point in time, and we can possibly work on some of the language and try to figure out and manage some of the concerns that the counties have and get some clarity?
Mr. Chairman, sure, I am. I thought that Senator Howell had a good approach to try to zero in on the types of roads that we were interested in.
Okay. Well, if you feel that it's your bill, it's your choice. If you feel that that's adequate.
I definitely would confer with the committees whether they, I would look forward to working with, either the amendment, Senator Howe, and the department. I sense a little bit of uneasiness in terms of what that amendment might mean from the committee members. I think most people understand what it does, but
Mr. Senator, Chair.
And I would just follow up that as you move forward on that, Senator Stump, that my interest is in even if that narrows it to the specific area that's focused, that allows the department to make a decision based on data. They've saying to us that they aren't going to do that. That's what I'm hearing, that their practice has been to simply support what is in statute anyway. So I don't know that, although I think it helps, it doesn't address some flexibility, if that's appropriate, at the department level.
Ms. Groff?
Mr. Chair and Senator, if that's the way you interpreted what I said, I apologize, because that's not what I meant. We have worked and increased speed limits on these 840 miles. The data now, after 4 years, I'm a little concerned about some of the trends that I'm seeing, but if I see that this committee wants to see more of MnDOT roads raised to 60 miles per hour, again, I'm hesitant to do that, but I would work with the committee, and we could get something worked out probably. But I'd like to make sure that everybody understands the ramifications before we would move forward, but I'm open to talking about that. There would be cost associated with it, however.
Ms. Berzovsky, did you formulate, based off of Senator Howe's input, potential amendment to the language that would offer the clarity that the committee might be comfortable with?
Mr. Chair, my suggestion would be on 1.14 to reinstate the 55, stricken 55 and delete the new language 60, and then on 1.23 strike out, and then on 2.2 after district insert semicolon and 9 in parentheses, 60 miles per hour on trunk highways that are not otherwise specified in this section. And I believe that includes U.S. highways, so I don't think it's necessary to state that separately, but I think trunk highways would include the U.S. highways as well.
Senator Hall?
Mr. Chair, I'll offer that as a motion. We have I know we're going to have a short legislative session, so we can continue to work on that as it moves forward.
Very good. Senator Howell moves the verbal amendment, as Ms. Berezovsky pointed it out. Any discussion on the amendment? Senator Dibble.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the efforts of Senator Howe. I think, however, the testimony is clear. We still are presented with some of the similar problems that Scott has outlined. It kind of vocals out of the picture here. But, how do we know sitting here that this is a good idea? We've entrusted the designation of speed limits for the most part on the state trunk highway system to the engineers who know a thing or two about what speeds are appropriate. So how do we know sitting here, looking at this piece of paper, and this kind of abstract discussion, that this is a good idea? And we do know that accidents and severity accidents will go up.
Senator Howe?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think that changing this and passing it today is going to change any of them. This is just giving them the authorization. So if somebody wants to lobby the state or an area that they feel that there's a segment of road that can handle it, then they'll do the study, the traffic study, and say, yeah, that road. But we've just heard testimony that our roads are designed for that speed limit. And so I think that this just authorizes them to give them that power to do it. It's not saying that tomorrow all roads are going to be 60 miles an hour. And I don't think that all of our state highways can handle the 60 mile an hour. That's not what I'm suggesting, but I do think we should have the flexibility for them to look at it.
Senator Dibble?
Chair, well, maybe I'm understanding then what the statute says incorrectly. I think this does simply, maybe council can answer that question for me. Am I misunderstanding? This sounds like those speed limits on those particular facilities will be 60 miles an hour.
Ms. Berezovsky?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, that's the way I would understand it, too, that the unless they're otherwise specified in the section, the default speed limit would be 60 miles per hour.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Hall.
I thought from the testimony that that you said that you'd study those roads before they'd automatically go to 60.
Ms. Groff.
As Mr. Chair and Senators, you can see this is very complicated. Right now, I'll try one more time. Right now, all MnDOT roads are authorized. None of these statutory limits apply to MnDOT roads.
What do you mean by authorized? What is that word?
Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, authorized means that we have had an engineer go out and take speed samples and have documented that this road has, this is what's happening out there with speeds, this is the shoulders, blah, 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 and have authorized them at 55 miles per hour. On the 60 mile per hour roads that we raised, the 850 miles, we actually sent people out to look at those roads again, run some studies on them, and then we authorized them at 60. That's how they can go up to 60. We right now could raise every trunk highway to 60 miles per hour if our study indicated that it could work. But we would have to go out and study it and then document it and put it in our files so that when somebody is
Senator Hall? Mr. Chair, let me ask the reverse of that question. If this goes into statute, would there still be a trunk highway that you could say it's going to stay at 55 or maybe be at 50?
Ms. Groff?
Mr. Chair and Senator Howe, yes. The commissioner can study any road that the road authority asks to be studied. In this case, if MnDOT wants to study a road, we can go and conduct a study, an engineering study, and document our reasons for posting something different than statutory speed limits.
One more clarification.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the state trunk highways are designed for 60 mile an hour, correct?
Mr. Chair, right now that is typically what they are designed for.
Thank you.
The two-lane, two-way roads.
Senator Dibble, did you have your hand up?
Yes. Well, Mr. Chair, well, now we have a contrast between what Senate Council believes would occur should the Howe Amendment be adopted and what MnDOT has said. I mean, it seems clear on the reading that all state trunk highways would be 60 miles an hour. Okay.
Ms. Berzovsky, would you like to?
Mr. Chair, the wording in the amendment says on trunk highways that are not otherwise specified in this section. The section includes a lot of subdivisions, and one of those subdivisions gives the commissioner authority to conduct a study and to assign a segment other than, you know, than by the statutory defaults. So if the commissioner conducts a study or has conducted a study and signed a segment, it would not be subject to these default numbers that are in the subdivision that we're looking at today. In other words, I'm not disagreeing with what MnDOT says. I'm sorry if I gave that impression.
Thank you. Senator Scherr?
I maybe have become less clear as the conversation goes on, but I think I'm hearing that we're shifting from a process where the majority of the time 55 miles an hour makes sense, and that you use a review process to increase it to 60, and that decision would be made by the department. We're reversing it now to a place where maybe the majority of the time 55 is the right, and there are occasions when 60 would be better. So the amount of effort and initiative that has to change to take it down to 55 exceeds what expenditures we want to apply to this. And so if that's true, I'm inclined to stay with a system that allows a situation like Senator Stumpf is talking about to go through a process to request a different speed in his area than change the whole system that requires those that need 55, and there are some in my district that clearly should be 55, to have to go through a process to take it down.
Any further discussion on the Howe Amendment? Is it perfectly clear to everybody? Senator Howe has moved to verbally amend Senate File 1731, and does everybody understand the amendment? Do we need to have it read again?
Mm-hmm.
One more time.
Ms. Berzovsky, would you restate the amendment, please?
Mr. Chair and members, on 1.14, reinstate the stricken 55 and delete the new language, which is 60. Mm-hmm. And then with the little technical changes to the ands and so on, after 2.2, we're adding a clause 9 that says 60 miles per hour on trunk highways that are not otherwise specified in this section.
Okay, on the Howe Amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion does not prevail.
Division.
Division has been called for. Oh. You can call for a roll call, though. This will be just a show of hands. All those in favor of the motion, raise your hand. Okay, all opposed? The ruling of the chair was correct. The motion does not pass. Mm-hmm. Senator Stump.
Mr. Chairman, I would entertain your previous motion. And I was just visiting with the department, and we think we can come up with something.
I appreciate that, Senator Stumpf, and I would like to see this worked out. I'm on the bill with you, and I'd like to see something happen, but very good. We'll lay this bill over. We will lay this bill on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
Thank you, Senator Stumpf. And committee, rather than taking up Senate File 1530 today, we will move that to Thursday's committee hearing. And with that, no other business before the committee. We are adjourned.